Today, I want to tell you a true story about a guy named Pete. Pete was in trouble. Pete was actually in big, big trouble. Pete was a Christian worker in a place where there were some important people who did not like Christians. In fact, Pete's main church leader had been gruesomely killed by these important people. And now Pete was the church leader, and now Pete was in trouble. And you say, well, why was Pete in trouble? Well, Pete was in trouble because of a miracle that had actually happened. And I've told you some cool stories about healings in the past, but I don't know that I've ever told you about one as remarkable as this one, because publicly, right out in the middle of the town, in front of everybody, God used Pete to heal a man that everyone knew couldn't walk. And so as a result, everybody was like, whoa, what just happened? And so everyone wanted to hear about Jesus. And so now Pete was telling them all about Jesus. And how do you think that these important people felt about this? They were not happy. In fact, they sent the cops to grab Pete. And Pete actually spent that night in jail. And then the next day, they brought Pete into the courtroom, and they threatened him, and they told him about more imprisonment and beatings that would come if he didn't stop talking about Jesus. And so things were looking really bad for Pete. What do you think Pete did? I would have thought about maybe running, or maybe you'd think about, well, I just want to talk about Jesus. That's not what Pete did. Pete prayed. And I want to tell you today what Pete prayed, and I want to tell you what happened after he prayed. And the main takeaway this morning, if you only remember one thing, I don't want you to remember the story about the Incredibles that comes later. The one thing I'd like you to remember is that we are to pray because God has power. We are to pray because God has power. And so I'd like to tell you three amazing facts about God's power. Three amazing facts about God's power. The first fact, God has power even when life feels bad. God has power even when life feels bad. So Pete actually starts his prayer by remembering another time when a bad thing happened. And we actually find this story about Pete in the book of Acts in the Bible. And I'm going to read to you Pete's prayer from Acts chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 27. And here Pete is praying. He's just been threatened by the cops, and they let him go. And so he came back to his friends, and he told them what happened. And they are now praying together. And the prayer starts out with Pete remembering something else bad that happened. And this is what he says. He says, Lord, in this city, Jerusalem, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, all these important people. Their names were Herod and Pontius Pilate, and they were the rulers and the government. He said, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, so all sorts of different nations were gathered against Jesus. And Pete says, Lord, in this city, there's already bad things that happened. They were gathered together against Jesus to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. So Pete starts out his prayer talking about this bad thing that happened when the rulers were gathered together against the Lord. Remember when I told you at the very beginning that Pete's church leader had been put to death gruesomely? Well, that was Jesus. Jesus was the one who was gruesomely put to death. And there's bad things that happen in life. It's bad when your puppy dies. It's bad when you don't get the kitten you want. But you know things are bad when people are killing Jesus. And that's what was happening when Pete was alive. And when Jesus died, it did not feel to Pete like God was in power. In fact, you know what Pete did? Pete ran away scared and told everyone he didn't even know who Jesus was. Pete didn't pray that time. Pete wasn't bold that time. He ran away, scared. But then this amazing thing happened. Jesus didn't stay dead. God's power raised Jesus from the dead. And so then all of a sudden, Pete began to realize, wait a minute. That means that even though those bad things were happening when Jesus was dying, this means that God was actually in control the whole time. God has power even when life feels bad. In fact, Pete says in his prayer that when Jesus died, this is what God's plan had predestined to take place. In other words, God knew all along, and it was God's plan that the cross was going to happen. Get this. God turned the baddest thing that ever happened into the best thing that ever happened. That's how powerful God is. Satan thought he had this great plan to kill Jesus. And so Satan went through with this plan, but it turned out that Satan was just falling into every trap that God set for him, and everything happened exactly the way that God intended it to happen. And so what Satan thought was a great plan ended up being God's winning plan. So when Jesus died on the cross, there's two things that are true at the same time. It's called a paradox. Because Jesus dying on the cross was a bad thing that was done by bad men, and it was a good thing done by a good God. It was both. Bad men did this to hurt good Jesus, but good Jesus did it to help bad men. Do you guys know that's what the cross is? The cross is Jesus, even though he was perfect and innocent, he hung on the cross, taking the punishment for all the sins that all men would ever commit, all the bad things that all women and kids would ever do. Jesus was taking the punishment on the cross those things deserved, and he hung there instead of us, so that we wouldn't have to hang there, so that God wouldn't have to be angry at us. Jesus says, I'll take the punishment. And then we get God's love, we get God's forgiveness when we put our trust in Jesus. And so the cross was actually the best thing that ever happened. It was God making a way so that he could love us forever, making a way for forgiveness to be possible. And so here's what Pete is doing when he starts to pray. Pete is remembering another time when a bad thing happened, and he's telling himself, okay, when life feels bad, God still has power. Bad things happening in life, it doesn't mean that God is weak. Bad things happening in life doesn't mean that God doesn't care. God is more powerful than bad things. So I want you to know, and kids, I want you to know this too. I'm not just talking to adults today. You can talk to God when life feels bad. God's here. You can talk to God when life feels bad. If God has enough power to do good things even when Jesus died, don't you think he has power when your life feels bad? Don't you think God has power when things feel bad at school? Don't you think God has power when things feel bad for you at home? Wouldn't you think that God also has power when things feel bad with your friends? Or for some of us, when things are changing with your church? God has power even when life feels bad. Pete believed that, and so he prayed. What do you think that Pete asked for? Pete asked God for power. So if the first amazing fact about God's power is that God has power even when life feels bad, the second amazing fact I want you to see is that God has power to give spiritual superpowers. God has power to give spiritual superpowers. Who's seen the movie The Incredibles? Most of you? Okay, The Incredibles is a movie about this family, and they've got superpowers. So Mr. Incredible is super strong, and then his wife is Elastigirl, and she can like turn herself into a balloon and stretch herself all out real long, and Dash can run real fast, and Violet can create force fields. Well, in the first movie, they're not supposed to use their superpowers because the supers are kind of in trouble. If they use their superpowers, they're going to get in trouble. But then the Omnidroid shows up. And what are they supposed to do? So the family, they come together and they use their superpowers to fight the villain, and they end up saving the city. And it's a great movie. It's a great story. And I ask you, so why do we like those kind of stories so much? Why do we think they're so cool? Well, I think it's because that story is very similar to a true story. Did you know that God gives spiritual superpowers to those in his family? When we're in the church, we belong to God's family, and he gives superpowers to us. Now, the Bible calls them spiritual gifts. But it is a supernatural power that God awakens in each one of his people. So if you belong to God's family, you have spiritual superpowers, and God uses these spiritual superpowers to help save the world, to help people come to know who Jesus is. And so in this story, Pete was getting in trouble for using his spiritual superpowers. He had one spiritual superpower called healing. He would do signs and wonders, spiritual superpower. He had a spiritual superpower of teaching that enabled him in just really powerful way to tell people about Jesus. And so he was getting in trouble for using his superpowers. And so here's what he prays. Verse 29. He continues his prayer by saying, "Lord, look on their threats. Look at the threats of these important people. And grant to me, grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Now, guys, this is kind of crazy. If you got in big trouble for doing something, would you pray and ask God to help you keep doing it? Because that's what Pete's doing. What is it that Pete was getting in trouble for? Using his spiritual gifts, his spiritual superpowers. And now what is it that he's praying for right here? Spiritual gifts. And you say, well, what gifts was he asking for? Well, he had the gift of teaching, telling people about God and that what God says is true. And teaching as a superpower, it can make dead hearts alive. Hearts that are dead, in other words, they don't love God, they don't want God. Through teaching, those hearts can be awakened and brought to life. Peter was asking for the gift of boldness because it can be scary to tell people about God. Have you ever tried to talk to some of your friends about God? Sometimes they don't believe you. They might not like you. But Peter's prayer here shows us that you can ask God to help you not be afraid. This gift of boldness can make scared people into brave people. Peter asked for the superpower of healing. This is a superpower that can make hurting bodies well. Pete asked God to do miracles. Kids, miracles are not pretend stories like The Incredibles. It's fun to watch the Marvel movies and The Incredibles and Wonder Woman and all those guys, but that's just made up stuff. But when God does a miracle, it's real. And miracles help people to believe in God. And so Pete prays and asks that God would do miracles. These spiritual gifts are good things to pray for. Teaching is a good thing to pray for. Miracles, it's a good thing to pray for. Healing and boldness are good things to pray for. You can ask God for big things like that. And if you can ask God for big things, you can also ask him for little things. You can ask God for all things. So if God has the power to heal the man that can't walk, don't you think God has power even when your new school teacher isn't really your favorite? Don't you think God still has power when you don't have the friends that you would like to have? Don't you think God has power when your church moves farther away into a different building? Pete believed in God's power. And so he asked for God's power. And then what do you think happened? Pete asked for power. Well, God answered. And that brings us to the third amazing fact about God's power. First, we saw that God has power even when life feels bad. Then we saw God has power to give spiritual superpowers. And last, God has power to answer prayer. So here's what happened as soon as they finished praying. Listen to this. This is pretty cool. Verse 31, when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. The Bible is telling us that God answered their prayer. First, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, what is it to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, that's one way that God pours his power into people. It can happen multiple times. It can happen in multiple ways. Jesus told his disciples in Acts that you're going to receive power and you're going to be my witnesses. And then a number of times in Acts, we see the Holy Spirit filling people multiple times. Like Peter had already been filled, and now here he is being filled again. And God is using that to give Pete these powers, power to stay bold and not be afraid, power to teach, even when these important people are threatening to kill him if he keeps teaching, power to do signs and healings. In fact, if you read a little bit further in the story, healings keep happening and miracles keep happening because God has power to answer prayer. What did Pete pray for? He prayed for miracles and healings and boldness, and that's what God gave him. And then the building is shaken. How cool is that? How cool would it be if when we go have our prayer time in just a little bit, all of a sudden the building is shaken? A church I used to go to had something similar to this happen once. It was before I got there. I missed it. But they were having a church dedication service. And the text that was being read was, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind." And he read it the first time, and then he started to read it the second time. And when he got to the word "shall," "you shall," two lightning bolts hit the church on the word "shall," and a fireball went through the midst of the room where everyone was sitting. The sound system screamed out, and so did everyone else. And you could say, "Well, it's just a coincidence," and maybe it was just a coincidence. Maybe it was just a coincidence when this room was shaken. But I know what happened to that church. It actually altered the trajectory of the church because the fear of God hit the room, and somehow the power of the Holy Spirit rested on that verse in a special way. And they were like, "God takes this really serious, that we're to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength." And it actually became something that changed the focus of the church in a good way. And so I think that's such a cool story. It'd be scary to be there, but it would be awesome to be able to tell about the story as well. So God answers their prayer. The building is shaken. They're filled with the Spirit. And what we're supposed to understand is God doesn't only answer their prayer. God will answer our prayer. And that makes you very special. That makes us very special. The people in God's family are very special. Not everyone can say that their prayers get answered. In fact, there's a story in the Old Testament when the great prophet Elijah says, "Okay, we're going to have a showdown, and we're going to see who's really God, this false idol Baal or Yahweh, king of Israel." And so he has 450 prophets to Baal, and he says, "You pray to your God." And for hours, they dance around screaming out to Baal, "Oh, hear us, Baal." And the idea is whichever God sends fire down is the real God. Well, guess what happens when they pray to Baal, 450 of them for hours and hours dancing around? Nothing. Nothing happens. That's because there was no power. And if when you pray, no power is no good. No power is no good. The other day, I was playing Word Streak on my phone, and it's a little tournament that I get in with people all across the world, and I made it to the final, and right when I got to the final, my phone died. And I didn't get to play it. There was no power, and I just want to say, God's not like that. He never runs out of power at key moments. God never needs charging. God's always at 100%. I remember another time when I was having a really important phone conversation. And as I was talking, all of a sudden the person's voice sounded like, and then it disappeared. And I looked down at my phone and the signal was lost. I remember I actually yelled out, "No, not now." No power is no good. And I just want you to know, God's not like that. There is always a signal when you talk to God. There's always full bars with God. When Elijah prayed to God, the fire came down on the altar. Our God listens. He's different than Baal. You can talk to God. God listens when you talk to him. God answers when you talk to him. God has power to answer prayer. So if God has power and God answers prayer, then what should we do? That's right. We should pray. And in just a moment, we actually are going to pray together. We are going to ask God to stretch out his hand, which is what Peter prayed. He asked that God would stretch out his hand. You say, Barry, what's it mean for God to stretch out his hand? Well, it just means we're going to ask God to do powerful things. Those of you who have watched Wonder Woman, you know that when she brings her arms together, there is power against attack. Well, if you think Wonder Woman's strong when she brings her arm together, you should see what happens when God stretches out his arm. Because God's arm is super powerful. In fact, we read in the Bible some of the things it can do. Listen to what God's arm can do. Moses said this to Israel right before they crossed into the promised land after God had brought Israel, which was a nation of slaves, and he had used them to defeat the most powerful nation on earth, Egypt. And he brought them through the wilderness and they were about to go into their special land. And here's what Moses said to Israel. Remember what the Lord your God did to all of Egypt. The signs, the wonders, and he says, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord brought you out. It was God's mighty arm that did all these things. And if you read the story, God's mighty arm made these clouds of fire. God's mighty arm like split the sea and made a path right through the middle of the sea. God's mighty arm sent giant, huge hailstones down. God's mighty arm sent an angel of death and eventually drowned the entire Egyptian army in the Red Sea. God's arm is powerful. Later on in the Psalms, we read, one of the psalmists writes this, oh God, we've heard with our ears what deeds you performed in the days of old. You with your own hand drove out the nations, God's mighty arm. For not by their own sword did they win the land, nor did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm. See, we tend to think it's, how strong am I? Well, if I'm not strong enough, this isn't gonna happen. But in the Bible, they're not trying to figure out how strong they are. The key question is, how strong is God? And God's arm is more powerful than anything. And God does not want us to forget how powerful his arm is. In Isaiah, God asks this question to people who had forgotten. He says, hey, guys, is my hand shortened that it can't redeem? Do I like have a little T-Rex arm that can't do anything? He says, have I no power to deliver? And what he's saying there is, don't forget about my arm. In other words, pray and trust. So you might be here today and you might be saying inside, God, life feels bad right now. And what God is saying to you right now through this message is, hey, what about my arm? You might be here today and maybe you're an adult and we're transitioning as a church and maybe you're thinking, God, most people I talk to, they don't want to come to church. And I feel discouraged. And I think God's asking you today, did you forget about my arm? You might be saying, God, you know what? People don't believe in Jesus. They don't like Jesus. I'm afraid to talk to them. When I do talk to them, they think I'm weird. God's saying to us, what about my arm? Did you forget about my arm? Say, God, school is hard right now, or starting a new school year is scary. Or maybe you're saying my job is hard, or I wish I had a job. Or maybe you're saying that planting a church is really hard, and it's tiring, and it can be discouraging work. And what God is saying to us this morning is, my hand is mighty. God is asking us to ask him to stretch out his hand with power. Isaiah prays this. He says, this is a great prayer. Pray this today. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in days of old. And that's actually the same prayer that Pete prays. When Pete prays, God, would you stretch out your hand and do signs and wonders and do mighty things? When we read the book of Acts, where Pete's story is told, there's at least 24 different times when prayer is mentioned. At key moments, the church drops to their knees and prays. And in the story of Acts, is how God's mighty arm smashes through every obstacle. We are at a key moment at Connection Point. We're at a decisive moment. We're moving into a new location. And so we are gonna start things off by praying, just like Pete did, and we're gonna ask God to stretch out his hand. We're going to ask God to do mighty things and to overcome the obstacles and to help the word get out with power so that people learn about the love of Jesus. We're going to pray because God has power. God has power when life feels bad. God has power to give superpowers. And God has power to answer prayer. Amen?